Ben Fagan here with another episode of Career Cash, the podcast. And on this episode, I'm joined by Director of Strategic Events at Salesforce, AEA Theater Stage Manager, and international speaker, Tanisha Moody. On the show, Tanisha and I talk about how she transitioned from professional theater to events, the importance of being flexible as you plan out your goals, and why you should fail full out. It's an awesome conversation. Let's get to it. Well, I am excited like I am for just about every episode. And today I just want to give the big warm welcome to Tanisha. How are we doing today?
I'm doing great, Ben. How are you?
Fantastic. Fantastic. So I know you're off doing amazing things, a lot of great things. And so I like to start every show by bringing a little bit of a context about what you're doing. And then we'll kind of talk about how you got there and where you're going from this point moving forward. So what are you up to on a day-to-day basis in your current job, your current role of what you do?
Yeah, right now I am the Director of Strategic Events at Salesforce. My role is actually around how do we bring to life the campground experience, which is the central hub of all tier one Salesforce events. Most of the most well-known Salesforce events is Dreamforce, which is the largest tech event company conference in the world. And at the central of that event is the campground experience, where it's bringing to life the brand Salesforce, as well as our product integrations and some of our key partners as well. So on the day-to-day basis, I'm leading a team to ensure that we are being strategic in how we show up there, keeping things moving along, leading a lot of meetings, doing a lot of thinking around the strategy of that. And it's really exciting. It's a lot of work, but it's so fulfilling to see those events come to life when they happen.
That's awesome. So what was it that kind of got you gravitating towards events, the strategic planning and everything of that? So was that something that you kind of always had in you? Was that something you discovered in college? What was that evolution like as you kind of got into this industry?
Yeah, so it actually is a little unique. My background's in professional theater. And while I was at UCF studying for my BFA in stage management, we also had a lot of different professionals in the stage management world come in and speak to what they were doing. Some of them were doing traditional theater stage management, such as on Broadway, on tours, and others were doing a little bit more unique events-related stage management in the space of like the Super Bowl and on-site for events calling corporate shows. So that's when my first interest of utilizing my theatrical and stage management skills came to life and then applying it into the events realm. So after doing professional theater, events was something that just kind of transitioned naturally from there. I really feel like that this role and this company in particular was always on my list as I started to get deeper into the events realm. And I'm really excited to be here.
No, that's awesome. And so making that kind of transition, because I know that can be difficult. And it's so funny that you say that, because my uncle studied musical theater, and then now he's been in elder law. He went to law school. He's been an elder law lawyer for, you know, many, many years.
Oh, wow.
But I'm such a big believer in when you're in school studying things that you enjoy, you're passionate about, and that are going to give you skills that allow you to go in any direction. So as you're going through school studying theater, what was that transition like, where you began to say like, okay, did you want to do something in theater? And then when you decided you wanted to go in a little bit different route, what was that kind of thought process like?
Yeah, so luckily my teachers were very transparent about how difficult it is to succeed in theater. They really pushed us to get a lot of experience even before we graduated, which was really awesome. So I actually came out of my undergrad having a lot of experience already in professional theater. And my plan was actually to do professional theater for a while and then transition into events probably like 10 years from there. So I could lay down roots and settle in and not jump contract to contract and be in something a little bit more sustainable. But of course, when you plan everything out, it never comes quite to fruition that way. And once I graduated early and I started working in theater, an opportunity with Disney came along to join their Disney event group. So it was kind of a decision of, should I continue going with theater or should I pursue the events route, even though it didn't align with the timeline and plan that I planned out, and I chose to jump with it. But funny enough, right before this job, I went back to theater I was actually a stage manager for Broadway's first national tour of Mean Girls, the musical. So I was trying to do both events and theater at the same time. It didn't work out. It worked out on paper, but trying to do both just didn't work as I thought it would. But I feel like there's a message in there because like you can do it all. I would say you just have to plan it out a little bit and be able to sacrifice and be patient with it. And that's what I've had to tell myself throughout my career of being a dual professional in both theater and events.
So what is that experience like, and what kind of goes to your mind? How do you work through when you have something planned out on paper, it's looking good, you're kind of headed down that route, and then like you said, it doesn't always, you know, come to fruition exactly how you laid it out. How do you manage that? How do you balance that and not be so hard on yourself, you know, as things kind of twist and turn, you know, and wind, you know, as you're progressing through your career?
Yeah, that's something that I continue to learn as that continues to happen is really to give myself a lot of grace around it. Like, you're not going to have everything figured out. There's no guarantees in life. And being willing to embrace that, to embrace the fear of the unknown and still do it anyway, is something that I continue to tell myself to do. And I feel like it's paid off. But something else that I tend to rely heavily on are a few different things. Definitely my faith, I rely on that and like seek guidance through that space. But also like my network of people, my community, my family, my friends, getting their perspectives on it and spending some time thinking about what it could potentially look like, even though it's not going to be exactly like that, really allows me to be solid in my decisions. And recognize that in the whole grand scheme of things, there are no mistakes. It's all meant to be how it's going to be. And when you get there, you can change and adjust as necessary. But leading with that grace and that patience really helps solidify that.
No, that's awesome. So how have you been able to kind of interpret it in that way? Because I think that's such a beautiful perspective to have, is that there are no mistakes, that, you know, it's going to work out how it's supposed to. But I think, you know, in the moment of things, it can be difficult when things don't work out how you intended. Yeah. So how do you kind of work through that, either in personally, professionally, to get to those things, to get to the point where you can have that perspective of, hey, this is how it's supposed to work out. I'm going to make the best of it. This is happening for a reason, and all of those types of ideas.
Yeah, I would definitely say for me, it's been a lot of trial and error, because it's taken a while to realize that although we are in control of a lot of things, there are some things that there aren't. And being able to recognize which things you can control has been something that I've learned to do and has really impacted how I navigate all of those different changes and the things that kind of swirl and come at you. I would also say, like, to a little tactical piece of it, I'm a very extroverted person. I'm an ENFP for those Myers-Briggs people out there. And ENFP in particular are sometimes referred to as some of the most introverted extroverts out there. So although we get our energy from people, we need to spend some time in silence a lot. And I didn't realize that until recently. And I recognized that that practice of just spending some time in silence, of just sitting there thinking, not being distracted, really can kind of unlock a lot of things for me and a lot of different perspectives for me and things that I didn't see, so that I can see the bigger picture. I know a lot of people, they might spend time in the shower, or I'm a bath person, and spending time just kind of like not doing anything so that you can digest what's happening and figure out, all right, there's this small piece that I can control, is something very practical that I've implemented in my life, which has helped me navigate all of those things.
That's so important, regardless of the career in the industry. And that's what I love about doing these episodes, is because there's so many commonalities that can be applied, you know, in finance and in hospitality and journalism. And it's all the same regardless of the industry. And that's one of the big ones, like you're talking about, is finding whatever works for you to reset and recharge so you can be at your best and, you know, perform at your highest there. So I think that's, you know, an outstanding piece. Now, did you recently just come across that kind of aspect, and what were you doing prior to that to kind of recharge, or was that just something that you struggled with?
Yeah, so I am a self-defined workaholic. I pour in a lot. I'm always striving for excellence. Like, that is like, and I'm comfortable working tons of hours or doing whatever I need to get there. So that's always kind of been my nature. But I recognized that even though that's always been my nature, I was already doing some of the things that I was talking about, like silence. I was already doing it, but I didn't recognize I was doing it. And I didn't realize the impact that was making on other areas of my life, just kind of dedicating time to it. So I would say it's been challenging to kind of navigate some of those things and kind of pull out what I've already been doing and continue to apply it to ensure that I'm getting the rest that I need, that I'm taking the space that I need. I'm getting to make certain that we're making the progress that I need to. So that's been really important for me. But I do recognize the need for self-care, of having routines. And I feel like everyone can, if they can find what they need to do, it's going to make a huge impact in the long haul.
Yeah, definitely. And that thing is going to be different for everybody, but that's so important to, you know, find it, whatever it is for you. And I want to touch back on the controlling what you can't control and the controllables, and put it in a little bit more context of what you do with the events. So looking at that landscape, what are some of those things that you're going into it, you know, is within your control? And what are some of those things that you look at and is out of your control? Because I know with events, not working in it from the outside, I just imagine there's a ton of moving parts. You know, and so how do you manage the controllables with the uncontrollables, doing the best you can, you know, and still producing a good product and service out there with so much that's out of your control?
Definitely. So when it comes to events, I feel like, especially with my team who manages a lot of the execution pieces and a lot of the pieces of being on site for it, where I am right now in my career, that's not what I'm focusing on. I'm developing those individuals to be able to flourish in those roles. But what I continue to pour into them is that it's okay to plan and to have tons of contingencies, like figuring out if this goes wrong, we can do X, Y, and Z. Having that playbook already established is so important. And I feel like just that action alone of thinking through what could happen allows you to have a variety of perspectives in the moment when something does go wrong that wasn't what you planned for. Because you can potentially pull pieces from all those different plans that you had as contingencies and apply it to the specific problem you have on site. In addition to the actual planning portions of it, being flexible and recognizing that this is an opportunity when those type of challenges do pop up is really important too. It's kind of a mindset thing, thinking about like, we can overcome this together. There is a way forward for it, remaining positive and optimistic, but also recognizing that this is a real situation, finding that balance to be flexible and be willing to kind of think outside of what might have already been done before is really imperative to ensure that you can navigate those changes that are going to happen on site. But I love when that happens on site because you can potentially learn something from it that you can apply for the future.
No, definitely. And so does any particular moment or situation, recent or in the past, come to mind where you've been able to apply that, where things may not have gone exactly to plan, you had to adjust and you learned, you had some takeaway from it?
One of the most recent ones actually happened while I was at Dreamforce. It was an all hands on deck situation, which is really awesome. But I had the chance to work within a space outside of my typical space, which was in the production and the keynote space. And we ran into a couple of instances where the sessions ran long, which meant that backfilling and filling in the room and turning the room for the next session was going to require a little bit of creativity to make it happen seamlessly. And of course, that wasn't the plan. The schedule was baked already, even to the note of like how long we were going to be live streaming the actual keynote that was running long. And what I've recognized in that moment was to ensure that just everybody was on the page, on the same page. We understood what was happening, what the impact was going to be, and what our plan was going to be moving forward was really important. And that allowed us to all just kind of come together in a all hands on deck fashion to ensure that we were able to get the next session into play. And it worked out nicely. We kind of delegated tasks to each other and made certain that the attendees that were waiting to see the next session were made aware of what was going on, provided them with some resources to go grab some water, to go to the restroom before the next sessions that they understood that we didn't forget about them. Mm-hmm. We're moving forward and we're going to make certain that their session, they get the most out of it that they can. And it worked out great.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And you can definitely see the takeaways from those moments. And again, I really, really love that perspective of finding the value in when things don't go right. Cause you do learn so many lessons, and it's such a more productive outlook on those situations, which is really awesome. So I kind of want to go back a little bit before we go forward again. So coming out of school, you know, the Salesforce job wasn't the first job. So what was that kind of career path looking like for you? How did you kind of, I know you said you mentioned working, you know, in the professional theater, getting into Disney and everything of that sort. So what has that path been like as you've been building this career, working in different roles, working, you know, within different companies and organizations to get to this point?
Yeah, definitely. So after my graduation from UCF, I did work professionally in theater all across the country, and wound up at Disney. And that Disney event group role of being a production specialist was my first introduction into immersive events and experiences, and figuring out how we can work with certain clients and bring their goals to fruition in an event experience was really cool. And I felt like I was pretty hooked on it. With that in mind, though, I recognized that I didn't have much event experience. I didn't have a lot of hospitality experience. So that was actually when I started my MBA with Lynn University. And I learned about hospitality management. I learned about management and leadership in itself and what it means to kind of ensure that financial goals are realized, and how you can put into practice a lot of different things to even build an experience from a different perspective, which was really cool. And I did my MBA while I was also working full time, which was really awesome to do because I was able to put into practice what I was learning on the job. So right after starting school, I wound up at PSAV, which is now called Encore, which is the largest audiovisual company in the world. What was really awesome about that role as a manager of operations was one of my first chances to really lead and develop a team. I was managing a team of about 35 individuals, mostly men, a lot of different perspectives on operations and management and sales. So a lot of different roles all rolled into my position, which was really awesome. And really learning how to lead a team to make certain that they were being developed and achieving their personal goals was something that I really appreciated there. In that role also, and got to understand the importance of audiovisual as it played into events and experiences. So seeing events from that perspective allowed me to understand that everything has a role when it comes to making experience experiential. It's not just about, oh, you know, the tablecloths are great, or, you know, the catering is awesome. Like, it needs to kind of all come together to make the attendees feel like it was worthwhile. After PSAV, I wound up shifting into the hotel space with Marriott at the Gaylord National in DC. And in that role, I led a team of almost 200 individuals, and we were responsible for creating immersive experiences during the off seasons. With that placement of that hotel, conferences were very popular. A lot of trade shows are very popular throughout the year, but in the seasons such as winter, conferences weren't happening. So the team that I was on as a manager of special events and entertainment was really responsible for driving revenue to the hotel during that time. So we cultivated an experience called ICE, and all the Gaylords around the country do something similar, just usually a different storyline. But it involved life-size ice sculptures that attendees could walk through. We had our own entertainment show that was cultivated for the hotel property and for the guests. A lot of different activations that allowed us to bring the holiday spirit to attendees, which is really great. We saw about 160,000 attendees come through that exhibit, which is really awesome to see. After that, I wound up at the museum down in DC as well, which is on the venue side of events. And working in a dual role of a sales manager as well as an event manager was really exciting because I had a chance to work with a lot of different clients from the tech industry, from movie premieres, and from a lot of political agencies as well, which is really cool to see so many different events in that space. It was really exciting also to recognize the power of what a venue offers to the event and ensure that those goals are in line with the client's goals of what they're trying to do. It's really awesome to see events from that perspective. Right after the museum, which unfortunately closed, I wound up at Under Armour as our head of global corporate events, building out a strategy from scratch, putting out a team from scratch that ensured that we were highlighting business critical goals, meeting sales goals, connecting our internal teammates, and utilizing them as their first ambassador to the public facing activations that we would have. And it was really awesome being at Under Armour because they're so heavy on the brand. They're really about how can we maximize the brand and experiences? What does that look like? What does it feel like? And it was really awesome to do while at Under Armour. And as I mentioned right before this, I was on tour with the Mean Girls Broadway musical, and now I'm here at Salesforce. But what I really love about my background and experience is I had the chance to see events from a lot of different perspectives, which I would say not too many people, especially at this point in their career, have maybe had. A lot of them kind of stick with like one specific thing such as catering or one specific thing such as like agency operations. So being able to see events from different perspectives and work in different capacities has been really awesome for my career. And I feel like that's probably part of the reason that I was hired on for Salesforce. But I love that. I love being able to kind of tell a story from different angles and bring people together and potentially make a positive impact on the world.
No, that's awesome. And that's kind of what I was so interested in hearing about is that it was all a very similar sort of path, but very different in the perspectives that you gained. And I'm curious to learn about how those different perspectives influence your role as a manager, whether it's managing, you know, the group of 8-10 people to 200 people and, you know, the different teams. So how has your experience with the different perspectives influenced how you approach managing people?
I would say it's the thing that's probably been the biggest impact on that is that when someone comes to me and they say like, hey, I'm not sure where I want to go next. Like, what's my next step in my career? Is that I've been introduced to a lot of different roles. So if they're looking to stay within the events industry, I probably know someone that can maybe point them into the right direction and kind of give them some insight into their day-to-day. So I feel like that's one way. I think another way is that like when they can look at my career path and they can maybe apply it to theirs and say like, I don't have to stick to one thing. You know, there's a whole great industry out here. There's a lot of different ways that we can utilize our unique skill set as event professionals to be influential in a lot of different departments and a lot of different industries. So I feel like that's been really, really influential for me as I manage and lead individuals, is it's giving them the belief that they can achieve what they want to. They can navigate their career path and make it into something that's unique that might not follow the script of somebody else's.
I love that. It's empowering people is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And that's so definitely cool. Now, as you kind of mentioned, you're helping others, you know, figure out where they want to go and where they're going next. And I know you're just getting into this role here, but what does that look like, you know, moving down the road for you as you're progressing through your career? Are there any places that you're wanting to go that you're working towards, or what's that kind of look like for you a little bit down the road?
Yeah, so recently I've been doing a lot of training around kind of coaching and the coaching impact. I recently got my first professional coach as well, two coaches. So I think there's something there for me that I'm trying to discover personally, because I really love that piece of it, the piece of watching others kind of figure it out for themselves and helping them along the way is really fulfilling. And I know I've mentioned like on my LinkedIn bio, like the management and leadership piece of it and being a mentor is always my favorite part of my role. So if there's some kind of role where that can be kind of like even more full time than where I am now, I think that would be a nice career path to kind of explore. In addition, I recognize, though, like as I kind of develop and potentially pursue that path of being a coach, is that, especially an executive coach, that being probably kind of enhances my clout a little bit, enhances my experience, and enhances my ability to be able to positively impact others as a coach. So I feel like probably in the next 10 years or so, I'm striving for like the VP level or so, to see if that's where I want to be and if that's fits into the overall goals for career-wise. But I'm also on that path of FIRE, if you've heard of it, of being financially independent and retiring early. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it all maps out with the timeline there.
No, definitely. And I'm fully confident in your ability to get to wherever you want to go and adjust, you know, as the path winds and turns and flips and all those things. So no, that's so, so cool. And as we're coming to the end here, this is the bittersweet moment, as I always say. It's bitter because we're coming to the end, but so sweet because I know you got one more valuable piece of advice as we are here to cash out. I mean, you're leaving us with that one more piece of advice, leave us with a little extra money on the road. So what do you have for us today?
What I have for you today is I encourage everyone to fail full out. Before I got into theater, I was a dancer, and my dance teachers were either differentiate if we were going to be marking something, just kind of doing the steps at a half effort, or if we were going to be doing it full out, which was performance level. And I encourage individuals to fail full out, go performance level, fail big, so that you can learn from it, that you can grow from it, and you can potentially help others from that failure too.
I love it. I love it. Fail full out, a beautiful thing, an encouraging thing. And I know, like I said, you're going to get to wherever you want to go, and I know you're going to help so many people along the way. So Tanisha, I can't thank you enough for coming on today, and I'm excited to see what's next for you.
Thank you, Ben. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.